I know that you've been in the other room and you were in a bit one class faster than we did. But what we're doing today is something that's applicable to anyone. And I think it'll be useful to have a look at it together as we finish our program in Syria, okay? So good enough parenting. You may say, well, I'm not a parent. Well, you got cousins, nephews, nieces, and all those people. And you may learn one or two things about yourself as we go forward. Does that make sense? So, the basic needs for us to function well as we've been looking at this is these eight aspects. Basic safety, and we looked at that. Guidance and protection is necessary for anyone to develop well. Stable base and predictability is necessary. Reasonable limits so that we don't have entitled individuals when they're growing up. Love, nurturing, and attention is necessary to raise anybody. Empathy, validation of feelings, to be able to put a word to a feeling. It feels frustrating, it feels sad, it's important to validate that. Acceptance and praise for who they are, accepting somebody for who they are is very important, the child in that case. And spirituality is what we'll talk about today. So we'll go on to spirituality quickly and go into that. I'm not playing any videos today, so we're just going to have discussions through and through. When core needs are not met, children feel exasperated and discouraged and life trap schemas. So what are the core needs? This one's here. If these needs are not being met, the child develops... When our core needs are not met, children feel exasperated and discouraged and life traps and schemas develop. Remember, this is good enough parenting. It helps you as a father, as a mother, as a guardian to have a healthy relationship with your children moving forward so that you're doing what is godly and you're not being overcome. Colossians 3:2-21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirit. I said last time that you don't want to crush the spirit or the will of a child because that's what they live on. They need to have a will to do something. So you don't want to destroy the will of the child. You want to have something to live on and to do something with it. Okay? So the idea that you'll destroy the spirit is not the way to go. It's to guide, shape, and help them in a godly way, which we'll talk about today. Life traps. During that process of unmet needs, the eight unmet needs, we develop life traps. In other words, schemas. Life traps are deeply entrenched beliefs about ourselves and the world which we learn early in life. That the beliefs you have about yourself, you don't even know you have those beliefs, but they control how you behave today. Okay? Life traps are broad themes made up of memory, emotion, and cognition. That the process of how you think has been deformed in some ways because of unmet needs, cognition. Emotion, that your emotion is so unique to you, it's like eating food, we taste differently. We can eat the same food and feel a different taste. That's how emotion is built in us. And memory, the memories, we have different memories of childhood. That is what you have to be aware as you're developing children, helping them to grow up, to meet these needs so that they can become healthy and become the people that can make the right choices when it comes to the time of God. So, if we don't meet those needs, we look like this American map. It's out of scale and it's not accurate. When you're not developing properly, you're out of scale and you're not accurate in how you feel and how you see things. So you tend to be out of scale. When we discuss this, discussions we've had for the last 8 weeks, they help you to bring it to this place where it's in scale. So you may have this, potential, but because you've never dealt with who you are, you're always stuck here. Does that make sense? So we have to move to this level. So old map was out of shape, out of scale, hence distorted view, life trap. So a life trap basically is a distorted self view. You think you're a terrible person, and so the idea is that as we raise our children, we need to bring God in that and help them see how God sees them, all right? And I think the truth is that we all start that journey at some point as adults. Somewhere as you get baptized, you begin to see yourself much more better than before you became a disciple, right? Okay, in other words, you could be exactly like this, but you see yourself like this. You follow that? It's not about weight. It's about how you see yourself. It's not about weight. It's about how distorted you could be. Even though this is the real person, this is what you see and view yourself. So that's what schemers do to you. All right? So we tend to cope in three ways. I'm actually reviewing a lot of this stuff before I get into the business. The three ways we cope is either counterattack, we avoid, we surrender. These are not godly. Eight of these things don't help. If you cope in these ways, you're not doing the godly thing. The godly thing is being vulnerable. Coming to agree with God how you are, and then that works, not these things that we all do. Counterattacking simply means you make the person feel bad if they're making you feel bad. Avoidance, you never want to talk about it. Surrender, you say sorry a lot, but just to get away. You never deal with it. So a few cartoons to help us how a surrendered person would come about. At childhood, I told you not to forget your lunchbox. Why are you so stupid? It's a small child. They're going to forget stuff. All right? So when they get married, this is what they get. I told you to go buy a 20-watt bulb, da-da-da-da-da, and what happens? I'm sorry, but she's thinking she's stupid. So that's a life trap that formed there, but that's not... Just because you didn't get the right bulb, does that mean you're stupid? But that can be the monologue you carry in your life. This is the avoider. Look at how dealt with life. I was only trying to help you see from my perspective. As the conversation goes, he walks away, so sorry, I might be in here for a while. He's avoiding the whole conversation. All right? So he goes away, but it starts very early in our lives. So it's all about spiritual growth. And then we have the counterattacker. He broke a glass. Everybody, small kids will break things. That's just going to happen. Okay? They're going to break things. And so don't get frustrated with it. Accept the reality. Honey, I was worried it's after 8 p.m. Look at how he answered that. You should be grateful that come this. And he was so he's counterattacking. This was a simple conversation. Look at where it went. Okay? So this for review, and for all those of you who joined us today, it's a bit of review with us. So here's where we are today. So part 8, meeting the needs of spirituality. Let's talk about this. Okay. Deuteronomy 6:5-9. Last week I was asking you about how many of you have devotions. Actually, what we should be doing, I spoke with Alan, we should be staying here much more, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk, is that right? With them. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on the symbol as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What do you think this scripture is describing how to raise a child? Or how should you do it? Yes.
You should be involved with them. It's not just, okay, now we're going to sit down and have our little family devotional, but it should be all the time and making references to how God is at work in everything that's going on.
It's an all-time job, right? So we are always involved in raising. You're always involved all the time. Yes.
I think basically it's not what you do, it's who you are.
It's not what you do, it's who you are. So that's why we call it good enough parenting, because there's no perfect parent, but you have to work on being the best you can be. All right? The idea is that the children will do what they see us do. So let's be the best we can be. As godly as we can be. Anything else? Yes.
Make it constantly visible.
Constantly visible. So fight to make it constantly visible. Anything else? Yes.
Repetition
becomes second nature.
It's a lifestyle. It's not just what we do, but who we are.
Lifestyle, not what we do, who we are. There was a hand somewhere there. Okay. Yes.
I think it's interesting how it starts off with impressing upon our hearts first. Like it starts with me.
So I need to change first before my children can change. So we all have to be the village for one another, because if we're going to help our children, we have to change and model for them those things, and then we can help our children, right? So everybody is part of this village, because you come to church, we interact with our children look at you. So we got to be that village that is changing, and our children can become godly as they see us, all right? So basically, as a church and as families, what you do is you're shaping your children the way they view God, the way they view themselves, the way they view the right and wrong, the way they view others, the way they view the conflict in relationships, as well as forgiveness. These are the things you're shaping. This is what we got to talk about. Okay, shaping our children's belief systems, their values and their hearts, is not one-time talk. It's all the time. But don't you think that's the same thing with Christianity? Can you say you figured it out today? You're always growing, right? So it's really a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. How are you going to shape this? So we're always shaping it for one another. Here's the pain, or here's the challenge. Many of us feel or describe ourselves permanently a certain way. No, you cannot be like that. You're always growing and changing. So you cannot permanently be one thing. Experiences are changing you every day, today, tomorrow. Different things will change you, and that's what you have to be aware of and keep making that change as you grow as a Christian. The way they view themselves. How can you help a child to view themselves properly or in a godly way? How can you do that?
Encourage them.
Encourage them? Encourage them with what?
I think you encourage them to do things that they want to do. Not, you know, like when we were talking about last week, just and their different personalities and the different things that they're good at, you know, encourage them in those things.
Encourage them in what they're good at and their different personalities, and accepting them and praising them. That's the one thing we talked last week, yes?
And just encouraging through their mistakes. I know one thing we're doing is, you know, when Donovan, he's potty training, so when he has an accident, we say, you know what, honey, you're doing a great job. Keep trying. You're going to get it next time. Just to keep them focused on, you know what, I did make a mistake, but it's not the end of the world.
So appreciating and encouraging the effort.
Identify themselves within Him, and not in like other things. Like, and firstly, identify myself within Christ. Like, I'm a child of God, and He cherishes me, and He molded me in my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And also, just being open and sharing with them how you view them and the way you view them.
That's huge, because they're being put down every day at school, and how they look and what they don't have. Yes, Dan. Open communication so they find out how they feel. Yes.
If you want them to respect themselves, you have to respect them. Treat them with respect.
Treat them with respect. If you want them to respect themselves, treat them with respect. Yes.
I think it's also good to challenge your children, right? To help them set the bar high, as opposed to, okay, I'm just going to do what everybody else does.
Challenge your children to do more than what everybody else is doing. That mentality, I'm just going to be like everybody else. Yes. Acknowledge how they are feeling about themselves. Then start the journey of moving. Yes, Grub. Moral standards, teaching, so that they know here's where you start from going upwards. All right. Okay. Yes.
I would say just always make it, like my parents always make me feel loved, so I feel like I was a product of divorce, that I'm still loved by my parents. I want to identify myself with my parents divorced. My parents love me. I think that was really important for, like, where I think myself is not as somebody loving that.
Very important that he's not part of the divorce. He's still loved. He's, no matter what happened, he's still loved. They care about him. So your issue should not cross over to the kids. Shield your children. No matter what happens, shield the children. Going forward, the way they view the right and wrong, honesty, unselfishness, caring for others, sexual morality. How do you teach this stuff? And the world has gone crazy. It's coming on TV. It's coming everywhere. How do you teach this stuff? Yes, Steve. You use the Bible. Yep. Cut off the TV and have more conversation.
I'm just thinking about my nieces because we've had conversations and they're teenagers, but in the Bible, they might not like take it at, they don't really like believe it in themselves right now. So I guess like just encouraging them with their relationship with God, like with praying, so they can at least like have the connection with God so they can believe this in the Bible.
All right, encourage what the Bible says. Yes. So children most get, that's true, children get most of their behavior from the parents. So you have to really model these things as well. Yes?
Yeah, but it's the same, a lot of the same, they have to see. So if we're talking about selfishness, brothers, there should be things that you do with the family outside of the house, whether it's going to serve the homeless or seeing you serve someone within the congregation, something they need to be a part of.
If we do this as a family, what he's saying, if we model these things as a family, it's going to change the children. So we have to do that as parents, really get involved so it becomes second nature. Yes? Okay, it's important to see all that. Maya will take Maya, then will come here, and then I have to move on. Be consistent. All right.
And they can remember as they hear different things. They have, you know, just a counter. They have the truth. They have, you know, what truly is valuable to refer to as a reference.
But we have to pull together as well as a church, because if we're not doing this in our homes and our children are going to different homes, they get really mixed up. You follow that? So we have to start pulling together. And kids will spend time with campers, with singles, with, you know, as our children grow, they're spending time with different people. So we have to pull together. You have to start working on these things in your home. Does that make sense? You're not comparing, just start working. And as we help each other in our family groups and all that, it will come together. Does that make sense? We become the village. Okay. I think one of the things with sexual morality, it's going, this is why we have to watch the electronics we have in our homes, the kind of programs on TV, the kind of stuff coming through phones. That's where it's going south very quickly. And we have to work on that and ask ourselves, what age do we allow our children on these phones? Are they responsible? Are they earning it? We all say, yeah, so that I can call them. But are they responsible? Did they earn that? Does that make sense? And there's many ways, if you don't, there are many ways of helping them understand the consequences of all that. The new addiction now is phone and other things. So we have to be very careful what's going on there. Okay, do we teach forgiveness? How about that? Which do we emphasize more, sacrifice or mercy? But let's start with forgiveness first. Do we teach forgiveness in our homes? That's a hard one. Nobody's talking. Memo, yes, go ahead.
I think the thing about forgiveness, you know, in our home we talk about, we say apologize and stuff all the time, but I think for me, the thing I'm learning is I can't hold a record wrong. Like, I can't, when my children do something, I can't go to, you always do that, or how come you're always, because that's true, that's not forgiveness. And I think it's really learning to truly forgive like God, who forgets. And it, taking every instance as new and teaching and using those opportunities to teach.
So you cannot, if you use the word never, always, you know you're on the wrong side. That's, you're not teaching forgiveness if you're using the word always, never. You're going the wrong direction. You're not teaching that. You're venting your frustration. All right? And you can't keep bringing up stuff that happened yesterday, today. The Bible talks about training. The coach doesn't keep bringing up things that team didn't play well yesterday. He keeps training for the future. You follow that? So you can't keep bringing up stuff you didn't do right yesterday, you didn't do 2 weeks ago. We've got to stick with today and keep training today. But we didn't seem to want to talk about forgiveness. You've got to teach your child forgiveness. And you've got to let go of that stuff. Forgiveness is canceling debt. And not bring it up again and again and again. And not treating them badly because they were not nice 2 weeks ago. How long does it take? How long in your house, how long does it take to turn around? Is it 2 days, 4 weeks? Hopefully you're doing 30 minutes, two minutes, 3 minutes turnaround. So it's quick. It's not 2 days, 5 days, 6 days. Forgiveness should happen. Turnaround needs to be quick. Does that make sense? Okay? And if... Yes?
I was going to say, I think it's a great opportunity to teach our children just how to respond to the cross and to forgive the same way that, you know, God forgives them.
Yeah.
Because in the future, they are going to need His forgiveness. And I just think it's a great opportunity to teach them to focus on the cross and to actually begin understanding what Jesus did for them on the cross.
So it's an opportunity to teach them to focus on the cross and how Jesus forgives us. And if we just thought about that, we'll have more forgiveness in the houses and in the homes. I think that's what's going on. We've got to get that down properly. If we get that properly, it'll work well. Excuse me. Okay, which do we emphasize, sacrifice or mercy? You said something? Sacrifice? You want to go with the Bible teaches mercy. Why do you think we should emphasize mercy, not sacrifice? And the contextual sides of it, but when you read Matthew 12, verse 1 to 7, why do you think we should emphasize mercy, not sacrifice? Yes.
Because mercy is unearned. It's something that you give because of love, not because they earned it. Sacrifice isn't. It's an action that you do. So mercy is to demonstrate you're giving them something that is something they
They don't have to earn. Mercy is out of love. Sacrifice is something you do. Yes. Yeah. One does with the heart, one doesn't. Yes, Alan.
So, in the church and also with our kids, we're trying to redeem. We're trying to take somebody who's unworthy and help them become worthy, help them to change. And so in order for that to happen, you've got to be able to leave the past behind.
You have to leave the past behind. It's very connected to forgiveness. It's very connected to forgiveness. More compassion. All right. Yeah.
I would say sacrifice is the overflow of the mercy that's been shown to you. So you can't get it backwards.
You have to have, God has shown us mercy a lot. And you got to teach that to your children, how God has shown us mercy and what we have. And sacrifice comes as a place for that, but you want to emphasize mercy. And if you read Matthew 12, verse 1 to 7, it will explain all that. But it's important that we're teaching our children the right values of how to walk with one another and just with other friends. Can they show mercy? If they don't, they'll be very insensitive. They'll put people down. But if they have mercy, they'll be different. Okay. There's a movie called Atonement. You can watch that, the way they view others. It's a very good movie. You can look at that. It's an old movie as well. It shows about how you view yourself. But we've seen that the best way to feel if you respect yourself, you view others with respect. That's where you start. If they're doing that well, they'll respect others as well. People who have not built character based on God, will not have it easy treating people well. The way they view others, we've dealt with that. And then the prodigal son. We've read the scriptures on the prodigal son, right? What do you think was happening in that family? The son that squandered everything, then came back. The son that stayed and was so perfect, and things weren't going great, and the father was different. What does it tell you about that family? From a context of family, what was going on? You have a father who have two sons. One son takes all the money and goes away and destroys all the money and then comes back and asks for forgiveness. And is welcomed, they're having a party. And the other son is not happy at all. What's going on here? I've been here, you didn't do anything for me. What does that tell you? What's going on?
Just that
competition?
Yeah. Oh, that's like comparing yourself and how we can compare ourselves in our relationship with our father.
Yeah, yeah.
And how it's different. And we can't compare because we're like different parts in our relationship with God or something.
Yeah, okay. So he was missing the whole point on mercy, but was very big on sacrifice. Yes, Steve. So our children can become rebel or a Pharisee. They can go either. That's why we have to stay and work at it. Yes. So there's a lot you can do for people, but not really love them. You can sacrifice a lot, but not really love them. Yes? Yeah. So she put in a birth order, Isha. You, as you know, that sometimes the first child, the second child, the third child. Second child never fits. The third is closer to mom and dad, and the first is more an entrepreneur and how that can play in the system as well. Being aware of that as you're loving them.
I was going to say the father was very consistent in being merciful to both of them. Because even to the second son, he still welcomed him. He still drew him to, you know, this really is what, you know, I love about you. I mean, you're my son. That's what truly matters.
So both sons, their father loved them consistently. The one that had left and the one that came. Yes. Yes. So we got to fight for more open dialogue in our families. Have more conversations. Less talk and talk and talk and talk. That's when you start to resolve a lot of this stuff and get to the scriptures and know what the Bible teaches. Because at the cross, we all come to the same level, right? If it's my responsibility to apologize to my children, then I should do that. If it's their responsibility, we should be doing that both ends, all right? So here's the issue. What we got to do is we got to be consistent with the family devotions, our own times with God. Our kids should shouldn't see our what? Our religion, but our walking, breathing, real relationship with the Creator of the universe, our Abba Father. So the point here is this. We can be religious to a point where it's empty at home. Let's make it real there. Let's connect at home. Let's try and have really real conversations with the children, but with God as well. Not for them to see us, for us with God. And then that's when you have that passion, you can influence the children. When you don't have it, it's empty. Does that make sense? Yeah, so practical suggestions. Family devotions, family dinners, highs and lows. Basically, what's your high today? What's your low today? Discussing how, what was your best day today? What was your bad day today? What happened to you today? What was high? What was low? Have a conversation around that. Don't just talk about all the bad things when they come from school, because that can be depressing to you as well. What about the good stuff? Okay? Meaningful talk during vacations, weekly dates. It's important to have weekly dates with your children. Amen? Daily listening to their feelings. Let's develop this. I know you may feel like you're tired, but this is way bigger than the job you have. Because when you're dying on your bed, the job doesn't come there. The people that you love are the ones that come there. And those are the people you want to see that they're doing well before you go and you say bye-bye. You want to make sure they're fine, right? So let's spend time talking to our children. So that's very important. And let's schedule dates, times, so that this happens. Nature walks to talk about God and creation. Let's do that. Teach them to have quiet times. So that's important. How to get into the Bible. Teach them how this happens. And so it's not just reading a book, but reading the Bible. And how do you make sure the Bible is relevant to you? It's not just reading scriptures for the sake of reading because I'm a Christian. It needs to be relevant, and let the Bible speak to you. Okay, more practicals. Explain why when you watch your... Sorry, explain why and when you can, all right? Age appropriate. Age appropriate when you're talking about this stuff. Why? When, be careful how you say some of these things to the age, all right? Watch your conversation, because they have feelings too. Does that make sense? They have feelings too, and we need to resolve that. Sometimes it'll take a day, sometimes it'll take a few hours. But let's resolve these feelings that build up in the system and in your family. Okay? Be aware of media. Why that? Why should we be aware of media when it comes to spending time with family? Distracting. Corrupts. It puts all kinds of stuff in your head. Okay, one of the things we need to be aware about media is, I want to do two things. One is the influence it brings in the family, i.e., sometimes the media is pushing a certain way of doing things. For example, they make fun of fathers a lot. And without knowing, you bring that into your home. Even though your dad doesn't say that, he feels disrespected, put down, is wondering, what's wrong with his family? I do everything and you're going to turn around and put me down? Well, you're just copying the sitcoms on media. And society can do that sometimes, speak on a particular gender, the men, the women, and all that stuff. So don't let that become your culture. Have a culture of God in your family. Does that make sense? Another thing is just the stuff that goes through your mind and how you think about it as it's getting there. And you're on the table and the phones are going. You're not communicating that you're important. You're just mixing it all up. You need to put away that stuff. Have the meal, then you can go back to those things later. Make sense? Encourage your children to spend time with other children from church to build up good, solid friendships at a young age before secondary school. Here's where we have to agree, guys. Sometimes we all have to work on these homes. Does that make sense? What are the standards you're holding up in your homes? What are you doing in that place? That makes it easier to build these friendships as we put these homes around. Don't judge one another. Let's talk through these things. Figure out what works for your kid and how can we make this work. Does that make sense? Because if you're not doing the due diligence, then it's going to mess up what you're trying to build long term. All right? Encourage. So let's make sure that's being done. Encourage your children to spend time with spiritual adults who you trust. So everybody here is in the game, right? Everybody's in the game. Somebody's going to ask each other to spend time with you. Please, work on your spiritual guidance because the children learn from you. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And even whenever I was reading that chapter in the book, that it was talking about how they had gone over to another person's house, the children were close to the same age, but the mother had no control over their children, her children, the other mother. And, the kids couldn't wait to leave because it was not a good situation to be in. So we always need to be aware of what's going on so that we can it can be a good building.
You have to watch the children when they come. You can't assume they're okay. You have to be there and watch them. So it's important, especially when they're young, you have to stay way much more attuned to what's going on there. All right? Abuse can happen. Different things can happen. And you want to have harmony and friendship, not fights. Okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's what we're driving, right? That's the first thing we do. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your head, hearts, and to impress them on your children. I can't read that. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on the simple, and we can go on and on. We read the whole thing again today. But the point is that it's a full-time job all the time. You'll always have to do this. I think we need to understand that it has to be who we are, not something we pretend to do. It's who we are. And as a church, we all need each other to do this. If you play your part, it helps the children to do well. Does that make sense? If we all play our part as parents in our homes and raise them in a godly way, we're helping the whole community. And as our children change, so does the community change. Does that make sense? So let us really get serious about being functional parents. Not parents who bring them to kids' kingdom and forget about anything. Be involved at home. Be involved in their lives, in school, in other things. Get to know how they feel. Let us develop a relationship here. Let's have the dates happening. Taking them out one-on-one and an hour or two and then having conversations. All right? Some books recommended here. Shepherding Charles Hart. That's a good book to read. Scriptures to Grow On. They have scriptures that they read every morning. It's a good book to... It has scriptures in there that is designed for the day. Raising Awesome Kids in Troubled Times. All these books. Invest, because sometimes we invest so much in other things, but invest in your parenting as well. Invest in yourself, because you're the driver of this character formation. If you're not investing in that aspect, how do you form character in people when you're not doing that? We invest a lot I don't want to put guilt on anyone, but we invest a lot in many things that will not mean anything 100 years from now. We need to invest in ourselves, because if you change this generation, you'll be the grandmother or grandfather that changed that family totally. Okay? This is another movie you can watch. It's Walk the Line, Learning to Forgive Parents. And it's Johnny Carson, what he goes through and everything. And how they come together, and eventually there's forgiveness there. And you see how the father comes together and they have a good forgiveness. So we also have to learn to forgive our parents, all right? Maybe you didn't get the best... treatment. Well, that went away. Maybe you didn't get the best treatment in terms of your parents. You need to forgive them, because if you don't, you are holding yourself back.
Right.
You may think you're holding them at ransom. You're actually holding yourself back. So you have to forgive them so that you can go forward. And that may be a lot of work in terms of letting go. But if you go to the Disciples in Motion, that is one place that will start helping. So some things will come together and it can help you moving forward. Amen? That'll be all, unless there's any reaction. And now we're ending this session of parenting altogether. Next week, we'll come back to our normal programs. Yeah.
I have a question or a situation, because we thought it would happen later.
Yeah.
With our parents taking our children.
We have 7 minutes, so hold on. Yeah, we have 7 minutes. Go ahead. She's asking a question.
Because our parents go to church with our kids when they have before the weekend. We thought we had more time to kind of let them go, but now it's becoming a noticing they're trying to impress upon their spiritual views on our children. And just how do you find that balance? Because we talk, but, I mean, people are still people. So how do you kind of navigate through that? You know, this is what we do. This is where we are with teaching our children. Because we're not trying to take the pressure of, we're forcing our children to love God now. Right now we're teaching our children who God is and that God loves him.
So they're basically putting their grandmother and grandfather, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, the same thing they did to me.
Alan, you want to say something on this?
Yeah, I mean, when you've got Christian grandparents, it's one thing. When you don't, it's another thing. I think there have to be healthy boundaries in either case. Ultimately, God gave that child to parents. And there may need to be a conversation with the grandparents about, let us raise our children.
Yeah, let them know that you want to raise the kids. You're open to advice, but you want to raise the children. Yes?
You need to be respectful to your parents and everything, but we have such a wonderful family here. We are honored to be grandparents of more than just our own grandchildren. And that's something that, God has given us a huge family to be able to pull resources from.
Okay. You have a huge family that you can pull resources from here. You can get help. Actually, we are ending this, but the job begins now. You have the books to read. Take one thing you want to do and do that well. Stick with it, then do well, then move to the next thing. Bit by bit. I'm reading up some more until keep raising, and it, as we change, kids will change. Does that make sense? It's a journey we have to take. Yes, Allah. In your family groups, you can discuss these things. You can take on one of these discussions in your family groups and discuss them. I'm sure the singles may not have to take on this ones, but the married people, you can take on this stuff and discuss them and see how to raise children and move forward, right? Okay. So please, let's finish up the books and keep working at it. We're done. We're back next week, all of us together. The teens will be back to their usual class and have a great time. Thank you for coming. Have a great time.